morning, folks. I want to have your attention. My name's Ray. I'm going to speak to you. But like you know, I'm not part of the court system, although I've been doing this for years and spoken personally to the sheriff, and he's assured me that I have a right to be here under my First Amendment right, freedom of speech. So I'd appreciate it if you'd be patient with me and give me your attention. It's said that a very primitive tribe in Africa is a unique way of dealing out justice to guilty parties. If there's been a murder in the tribe, what they do is line up the suspects, and the guy who cannot spit is put to death as the guilty party. And the reasoning is this: the human conscience is so strong, that knowledge of when we do wrong, that what happens is when you line a guy up, his conscience accuses him of his guilt, the guilt produces a fear, and the fear makes his mouth go dry, so he's spitless. So he's the guy that dies for the crime. Conscience is an incredibly powerful thing. An old drunk was once walking home, standing on the sidewalk, when his dog came out and watched him coming towards him. The dog loved his master. The drunk walked up his pathway, the dog snuggled up behind him, followed him into the house, the drunk collapsed on the floor. So the dog snuggled up to his hand and waited for that moment when his master would awaken so he could lick him and have fellowship with him. He so loved his master. Around midnight, the dog began to bark and bark. The drunk awoke and thought, man, the last thing I feel like is a barking dog. And he reached down and grabbed a wooden chair and threw it at the dog and then collapsed on the floor. In the morning, the drunk awoke, opened his eyes, and saw a sight he could hardly believe. Everything was taken from his house. During the night, thieves had broken in and stolen all his possessions. Only two things were left in the house. One was a broken chair, and the other was a dead dog. The dog had heard thieves breaking into the drunk's home, tried to warn his master, and his master had killed his very best friend, the one that was trying to warn him that thieves were breaking into his home. Now your conscience is like that. It's like a barking dog. It's not pleasant when it barks at you, but what you've got to realize is your conscience is your friend, not your enemy. It's there to warn you when you do wrong, because when you do wrong, there are always negative repercussions. Maybe not right now, but in the future. What I'd like to do today with your help, your cooperation, is show you why you should be very concerned and why you should listen to that conscience. And this is why. The Bible tells us God has set aside a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness. Now that should please you if you're a good person. The day is coming when murderers will be brought to justice. What a wonderful day. Everybody who's good should rejoice when murderers are brought to justice. Oh, it'll be a day when rapists will also be brought to justice, where vicious men have viciously raped innocent women. Those wicked people will be brought to justice, so good people can rejoice. Oh, it'll be a day when thieves are also brought to justice, and liars, and blasphemers, and fornicators, and adulterers, and good people will rejoice when that comes to pass. Have you ever lied? You say, yeah, yeah, I have. Well, then you're a liar and you're in big trouble. Have you ever stolen? You say, yeah, just little things. It still makes you a thief if you've stolen something. Have you ever used God's name in vain? Have you ever used your Creator's name as a cuss word to express disgust? The Bible says the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Have you ever had sex out of marriage? Then you're a fornicator. Ever committed adultery? Say, no, I haven't done that one. Well, listen to what Jesus said. Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever done that? You say, man, have I ever done that? That's all I ever do. Well, realize this, that Almighty God has seen every sin you've ever committed. Nothing is hidden from his eyes, not a thing. All things lay open and naked before the eyes of him of whom we have to give an account. God will bring every word to judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. In fact, Jesus said every idle word a man speaks, he'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. So we're all guilty. Okay, what is the punishment for sin? Listen to it. The Bible warns all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. You say, what? You're kidding. It's what it says, all liars. Listen to your conscience. It will accuse you tell you you're guilty. And right now, you should be spitless if your conscience is doing its duty. If that dog is barking at you, listen to it. Let's go back to the African tribes. A primitive African tribe had a chief. He was a good man, but he found there was a rumor about a mutiny within his tribe, so he called the tribe together and he said this: if I find anyone even thinking of a mutiny, I'll give them 100 lashes publicly. And a short time later, he found out that his own beloved brother had been jealous of him, a secret hidden jealousy within his heart, and he'd been planning a mutiny. So what he did is he had his brother tied to a tree, and they got out a whip. And he picked the strongest man from his tribe and gave him the whip. And then the chief had himself tied to the tree and took the punishment for his brother. Now in doing so, he kept his word. Justice was done. 100 lashes were given out. But he also displayed and proved his love toward his brother, that he cared for him. Folks, that's what God did for you and I. We're guilty. We're heading for hell, every one of us. The Bible says God's wrath abides upon us. Every time we sin, we store up wrath, and God says he'll give anguish to every soul who is contentious. That means argumentative, rebellious, holding a fist up to God saying, it's my life, don't you tell me what to do. That's rebellion. It's a sinful heart. God says that wicked soul will be punished. Folks, if you die today, the Bible gives you a promise. It says the soul that sins it, you'll die. And if you die in your sins, you'll end up in hell. You have God's promise for that. But just as that judge proclaimed that punishment for transgression, for a mutiny, so God has proclaimed punishment for transgression of his law, eternal damnation. But he's rich in mercy, and like that chief, he took the punishment for us. God became a human being and allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. And the Bible says he was punished for the sin of the world. When John the Baptist saw Jesus for the first time, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Can you understand that? That God's love for you is so great that he became a perfect human being and gave his life as a sacrifice. He paid the fine so you could leave the courtroom. He shed his life's blood. He cried out in anguish of soul, my God, why have you forsaken me? God's wrath came upon him so you could go free. He was bruised for our iniquities. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God commanded, displayed, proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. He defeated death. The Bible says it was not possible that death could hold him. And now God offers everlasting life, forgiveness of sins, to all those who repent and call upon the name of Jesus Christ. All those that trust in the Savior. God says, I'll remit your sins. I'll cancel them out. I'll blot them out. I'll remove them as far as the east is from the west. And he says that I'll give you a right standing with myself. And that means, as a Christian, guilty though I am of breaking God's law a multitude of times, I'm no different from any one of you. Because of God's mercy, because of his grace in washing away my sins 33 years ago when I put my faith in Christ, that means I can stand before God boldly on the day of judgment. No fear. I won't be spitless. I'll be filled with joy knowing my sins are washed away, knowing that God has granted me everlasting life, not because of my goodness, but because of God's mercy and his grace. So folks, obey the command of God. The Bible says God commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness. Put your trust in Jesus Christ today. As you trust a parachute, some of you say, oh, I can't have faith in God. I just can't see him. Come on, when you get on a plane, you trust your life to a pilot you've never seen. You don't walk into the pilot's cabin and say, show me your credentials. I won't trust my life to you until you do that. We don't do that. We trust men we've never seen with our lives without thinking twice about it. So how much more should you trust a holy God? Jesus said, have faith in God. Trust Him. He is faithful who promised. And do it today because you may not have tomorrow. Every single day, multitudes, literally thousands of people, are swallowed by death. Death seizes upon them. They plan for tomorrow and tomorrow never comes. So obey what the scriptures say. It says, today if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. In a moment, my friend's going to come and briefly speak to you. And we want you to know, we don't get paid for this. We don't particularly like doing this. It's very awkward. We don't want your money. We're not saying to join a church. We're just saying, think seriously about what you heard. Because we're concerned for you and where you'll spend eternity.